I'm going to call to order a special meeting of the Grover Beach City Council and Improvement Agency for Tuesday, May 24, 2011. Would you all please rise with us for the flag salute today? And Chief Copsey, will you lead us in the flag?
Absolutely. Put your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, everyone. Roll call.
Here. Here. Here.
Here.
Here. Thank you, Donna. Let's move into public communication.
Other councils at our sanitation district in AG and in Oceano. Our primary interest in speaking to you for over 3 months has been the notices of violation on the sanitation district wastewater treatment plant in Oceano. The first concern was a secondary report which came out March 11th. I provided the city council a copy of that report later on, a few weeks after it came out, just to make sure that we were all speaking on the same level to the same documents. My concerns primarily are to do with these public documents. They're state water board documents. The second one is a notice of violation which came out regarding the massive sewage spill in Oceano during December. And this also is a state water board document. It's a public document. It's 34 pages asking the plant administrator at our wastewater treatment plant to elaborate on the conditions that led to the massive oil spill. And our concern is that the people without further education might not be able to act accordingly. And we want to make sure that the councils are well advised on the information coming from the water board. Now, when your representative stated that that there hadn't been a spill from the plant or a violation from the plant for 25 years, I went to the internet this morning and found an article from the Tribune dated January 13, 2010. That was 11 months prior to the massive spill from last December. It says, warning signs are posted along the beach in Oceano after a problem at a nearby sewage plant. Approximately 160,000 to 180,000 gallons of partially treated sewage was released through the outfall pipe. It says health officials are advising beachgoers to stay out of the water and until test results come back. He says, anytime we have sewage that goes into the ocean or any other waterways, we're concerned about the public being exposed to bacteria and viruses and things of that nature, said Richard Lichtenfels, an environmental health specialist for San Luis Obispo County. So, again, we're continuing to bring you good information. We're hoping that eventually you'll hear and you'll start to support an independent investigation into management at our sanitation district wastewater treatment plant. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Good evening. Nice to see you all again tonight. Jeff Pinack, resident of Oceano and Surf Rider Chair. Tonight I'm going to talk about this letter to the editor, which I'll provide you all copies with. This was in the Coast News this week. It says, South County Sanitation District violates basic ethics standards. And it's written and signed by Stephen Mintz, PhD, professor of accounting from the Orfalea College of Business, Cal Poly. I'm going to skip down to some of this. In case you haven't been following the story, the district has come under attack in the past few months from environmental groups, and that's the Sand District, that claim an investigation is needed following allegations of wrongdoing from two former employees and some local residents. That the plant's operation and the water quality testing methods overseen by the district administrator and his private engineering firm are inefficient and unethical. Some question the propriety of John Wallace working as both the district's administrator and its engineer. They are right to do so because all public officials must be beyond reproach and give both the appearance of being able to make independent decisions and be independent in fact. Independence, in fact, is a matter of determining whether, in one's mind or by virtue of decisions made, a particular issue has not clouded judgment, especially if the outcome of such decisions affects the decision maker on a personal or business level. This is a difficult standard to apply, so ethical behavior is judged based on appearances and the perception of a reasonable third party. The rest is whether knowledge, the test is whether knowledge of the facts surrounding the decision and the relationship between the decision maker and the external parties would influence the perception of the public with respect to the ability of the decision maker to make objective judgments. There is no doubt that Wallace fails the ethical test. Skip down. I'll go down to the left.
Oh, okay. Why don't you just hand them all to me and we'll... Okay. Oh.
Thank you.
So, Jeff, just to help us out in the future, if you can just hand it to the city manager, they'll pass them to us. I want to get to other folks as well under public communication. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council and improvement agency board tonight on their public communications? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back. And let's go into our first item, and this is under our joint City Council Improvement Agency. This is business. This is item CCIA1, and this is a report regarding a report and a recommendation regarding the fiscal analysis of the Improvement Agency. City Manager and Executive Director Peralt.
Mr. Mayor, Chair, and members of the Board and Council. As you're all well aware, in January of this year, the governor proposed the elimination of redevelopment agencies across the state as a part of his recommended budget. Just last week, the governor came out with what is called the May revise to the budget, and that May revision still incorporates the proposal to eliminate redevelopment agencies again across the state. It's important to note that this threat is very real and should be taken seriously. The governor's proposal, should it be successful, would have the impact of essentially eliminating almost all the tax increment or revenue flow to the redevelopment agency, with a couple of exceptions. One of those exceptions would be the funds that are deposited in the housing fund, and the other is the tax increment flow necessary to serve or pay bonded indebtedness. A couple of months ago, in light of the governor's threat to the agency, the agency board authorized the city and the agency to retain a financial consultant with the purpose of taking a look at the agency. The fiscal analysis was to include an existing analysis of the existing and projected tax increment flow, existing and projected uses of the money, any outstanding loans, and possible bonding capacity. In response to the council and agency board's direction, the staff retained attained Don Fraser, who happens to be with us tonight, to prepare that report. Just by way of a little bit of background, the city council activated the improvement agency for the primary purposes of dealing with eliminating blight and stimulating the city's economic base, primarily through the development of public infrastructure improvements, commercial and industrial projects, and affordable housing. In accordance with state law, two project areas were formed. One in 1997, that's the improvement project that you're all very well familiar with, and then later the 2004 industrial enhancement project, which essentially takes in the south industrial areas. At the time the areas were formed, the city loaned the agency startup funds. This is not uncommon. Is used by most agencies, internal loans, to actually provide the initial operational funds for the agency until such a time as the increment can begin to flow. This occurred in area number one, or the project improvement area, was loaned $906,546 from the water fund. And in the south industrial area, an original loan of $460,000 was actually provided from the general fund. In addition to that, back in 2009, the agency board actually authorized another loan between the city and the agency of $450,000. And as you may recall, that was to cover some of the costs associated with the Meadow Creek Bridge and Storm Drain project. Consequently, those loans remain generally outstanding. Some modest repayments have been made in the sewer fund and the redevelopment agency. Those principals are $413,062 to the sewer fund and $400,000 to the general fund, respectively. I should note that it was anticipated that these loans would be repaid back over the life of the agency. The agency has, or the project areas have, approximately 30 years in which to the general fund, sewer fund, and water fund, and would result in protecting the increment flow, because bonded indebtedness, again, is the primary means of securing increment at this point. That increment would be needed to pay the bonded indebtedness. Without that, and should the agency be eliminated, the prospect is that the essentially the increment flow would stop, and the city would not have any way of repaying those loans, or the agency would have no way of repaying those loans to the city. The other thing that's important to note, that the governor's proposal also thus far has indicated that the proposal would not recognize any of the internal loans as existing debt. So consequently, you couldn't just it wouldn't be recommended that you enter into a long-term payment period, simply because it's likely that should the agency be eliminated, those internal loans would not be recognized. By going through the bond process, you do a couple of things. You return those funds to the originating funds, and you secure that increment flow and keep it from being removed to help solve the state's budget problem. I do want to clarify that should those once those funds are returned, because this would be a tax-exempt financing, those funds could only be used for capital project-related costs. They could not be used for operating costs, per se, and that's something that you need to keep in mind. So the council has the ability, whether if you wish to proceed either along a taxable issuance or a tax-exempt issuance. That's your alternative, but you need to know that if you go with a taxable issue, first of all, they're less attractive to a potential bond buyer, and secondly, the investment costs the costs are less attractive because that tax-exempt status is eliminated. But you do have that opportunity to go that direction. So essentially, staff has outlined a recommendation for the agency board to consider. It would be at this time to authorize staff to initiate the process to issue bonds to repay the existing loans between the city and the agency. Should note also that, as you'll see in the fiscal analysis, there would be some residual project funds left in the agency that could be left available for local projects in the event the agency survives. That includes about $360,000 in the improvement project area and $660,000, I think, in the industrial enhancement area. Essentially, the other option, as I've noted, would be simply to direct staff to repay these loans over a period of years as quickly as possible. But that's not recommended, again, because we're facing the prospect that the agency may be eliminated. Timing on the issuance of the bonds is of the essence, simply because we don't know when the proposal on the governor's side is going to occur. So obviously we want to try and make sure this occurs within a time-effective manner. Tonight, to take you through, if you'd like, the fiscal analysis, I have Mr. Don Frazier with us, who provided the fiscal analysis. I also have Albert Pache with Pache & Associates, and he would be able to give you an answer any of your questions relative to the bond process itself. That concludes staff's report. I'm available for any questions, and then we can proceed with Mr. Frazier and Mr. Pache as the council desires.
Okay, so let's see if there's any questions of staff. And to my left, okay. Councilmember Monar.
Thank you. Just for clarification, when you talk about the agency, you're talking about the improvement agency.
Improvement agency, that's
all right.
Correct.
So if redevelopment is abolished, gotten rid of, the improvement agency would still be working because it would be dealing with the housing element?
Well, the proposal...
Or is the improvement agency just going to be gone?
No, it won't be entirely gone. There'll be a couple, as I understand the proposal, maybe the city attorney can help me with this. The housing fund would continue and would probably still be administered locally. And there retains its tax-exempt status. If you were to return it and it were to be used for operational funds, the only way to do that would be with a taxable issue.
Okay. One more, may I?
Yes.
Okay.
You have the floor.
So then just to clarify again, so the loans from the city would not be recognized. However, the loan from the housing fund would be recognized, and that would be able to be paid back.
I think you're talking to which...
Are you referencing the bond issuance that is being contemplated?
What I'm talking about is if we were not to have a bond issue,
mm-hmm.
and we were going to try and pay back some of these funds.
Mm. I think that the housing funds are limited to the use of affordable housing, and
right.
using those funds as a permanent way of repaying an existing loan would probably not be a proper method.
That really wasn't what I asked.
Okay, I apologize. I misunderstood.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
What I'm trying to determine is under this new budget, our agency wouldn't be recognized as a bona fide loan for the agency to repay the city, the general fund, and other funds. But am I incorrect? I thought there was some kind of an indebtedness to the housing fund that the agency has.
Yeah.
It was a singular loan.
So hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to step in, but why don't you identify yourself first?
Don Frazier.
Thank you.
Frazier & Associates. I'm serving the role of your fiscal consultant looking at the bond issue, and Albert's firm is serving as financial advisor. We kind of wear two different hats, if you will, in terms of the role we play. My role is more for revenue, looking at the revenues and what you have available and providing information to the markets about those revenues and helps you to get ratings and things like that. Think of us as two guys that drive the bus for different parts of the journey. So I drive it initially, get you at a certain point and turn over the keys to Albert, and he carries you through to the finish line if you decide to go forward with a bond issue. I think what you're referring to is the redevelopment agency is borrowing money this year to pay the state
The
CRAF.
Yes, that's exactly what,
And then under current law, it has 5 years to repay that back to the housing fund. And right now, under the governor's proposal, it's totally unclear what happens to that money. They didn't even address it, so they didn't even think about, well, what happens to this. Yeah, big surprise, right? So, I mean, I think they would probably come back and clean up the legislation and tell you to pay it back and give it back to the housing fund, but that's unclear at this point in time. So,
thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, good question. So, Bob, you had talked about time being of the essence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the staff report you had talked about this process, should the council give that direction, would take, what, about two months?
Two months.
Okay. And have we heard anything from the state? Because I know previously there was some discussion earlier when the governor first rolled out his proposal or his proposed budget to eliminate redevelopment, and there was this rumor swirling that anything that was obligated after January 1, 2011 would be in jeopardy. Is that no longer the discussion? Have we heard? Are there any other dates that might be coming out of Sacramento?
Based on my information, that has not changed. That approach that was initially proposed by the governor's budget with regard to the RDA has not changed. But that is, again, as was pointed out by the city manager, that would be applicable in a situation where the agency, for example, would repay, enter into, amend its agreement, its loan agreement with the city for annual payments over the next 20 years. That type of an obligation entered between the agency and the city, at least under the proposal language that was made public by the governor, would not be recognized. A bond issuance, an indebtedness obligation, however, that money would the tax increment would be committed for repayment of those bonds, and that obligation, at least based on everything that's being discussed and shown to the public, would be honored and would have to be.
And that's obviously in light of this being prior to any legislation or approval of a budget that eliminates redevelopment, correct? Okay. So I have comments I'm going to hold off, but I would like to have Mr. Frazier come back and just give us an overview of the fiscal analysis for the benefit not just of the council, but for the benefit of those in the audience and those at home.
Sure. And just one clarification on the governor's proposed budget. The January 1st date that the schools get some of it and all of that, and then what's left is what you retain, and then out of that you pay in your improvement project area, for example, you have bonds that you have to repay. You did a bond issue. The agency did a bond issue 5 or 6 years ago, so you have to pay those bondholders back. And then after that, you've got your other obligations, which are paying your staff to run the agency. You have this repayment to the housing fund from CRAF, and then you have the city loans that are left that need to be repaid as well. So as we looked at the sort of the flow of funds and the buckets getting filled up, when we got to the end, there was no water left. Everything's gone. You're using the money that comes in. You're paying back existing obligations. You're fortunate in that, unlike some of my other clients around the state whose revenues have fallen precipitously because of the economic recession, you guys have held pretty steady, but still your obligations have just about chewed up most of your revenues. But you do have these city loans, and the city loans do need to be repaid. And if there wasn't this overarching thing from the state ending redevelopment, you know, maybe you wouldn't do this bond issue right now. Maybe you'd wait until your revenues grew a little bit more and then do a larger bond and have more money for projects, and you'd repay the loans at that point. But given that sort of thing hanging over your heads, it seemed to make sense to me as we looked at this to take the money that you're going to use to repay the loans anyway, which would take 20 or 30 years, and go sell a bond with that money and pledge that to the bondholders and get your cash up front and bring the money in and get your internal funds all repaid. And you'd have the benefit would be you protect yourself from the state legislation. You make sure the loans get repaid, and you've got a little bit of money left after that. You've got some cash that you can put into the agency to pay for projects. So you get about $1 million, about $350 in one project area, about $650 in the other one, to be able to go and do projects with. So that was the analysis that we looked at. And then if you wish to move forward with the bonds, we would play a role as you're in phase two as your fiscal consultant, packaging up information to take to the bondholders and the rating agencies and all of that, and helping you get a rating on your bonds and presenting that information and working with Albert's firm to put this project together for you. So, and with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions that you have.
Great. Thank you, David. Stay there for a sec.
Sure.
Any questions of David to my right?
It's Don. But
I'm sorry.
That's against me.
Don. I wrote Don and I said David. Sorry about that. Yeah, Councilmember Monar and okay. Councilor Peterson, you have a question after that?
I wanted to just sum up a little bit. So basically what we're saying is if redevelopment goes away, then what happens is the city's and the wastewater and the water funds that were loaned to the agencies, there are two of them, as startup funds, basically we get no more money coming in to pay those off, and the city never gets paid back.
That's essentially
so
the case.
Effectively, the state takes another couple of a million from us.
It's an amazing thing to me, and your city attorney and I also share one client and who has much larger loans. They've had redevelopment projects for many, many years and much larger loans, and we just finished an analysis for them last year to pay back part of the loan and to put them on a schedule for repaying the rest of it and all of that. And they're trying to blow this whole thing up, I don't know.
So that's the downside. If we do nothing, the small dribble of funds that's been coming back, being repaid erratically, that goes away. That can't happen. But if we do the bond, then immediately we get this rush of funds, which would be very helpful in this economic climate.
Yep.
So immediately we get our wastewater fund, our water fund, and our general fund get a nice big dollop of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's right.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilman Monar.
Yes. And then we continue to have the two project areas?
Until the state decides what they're going to do with their legislation. I'd say it's much less likely today than it was 3 months ago that this is going to pass, but I can't guarantee you it won't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then those project areas, they just disappear. We don't... If we need to do work in the industrial area or... The other area,
won't have any money to do that. Essentially, the waterfall that comes in basically stops. You repay bond debt, and all of the rest of the money gets redistributed as regular property tax, basically, under the governor's proposal.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So to kind of put a number to it, I think, Bob, what are we typically receiving as far as property tax dollars that are paid in this community, and then what does redevelopment allow us to collect?
Essentially what that is and what you're...
Or the increment, yeah.
Yeah, and first of all...
money from the bond?
With $1 million left.
Well, with $1 million left over, as long as the agency's in place, you'd be able to use that. I guess the question would be, in the event that the agency disappears and you've still got $1 million of bond proceeds, what happens to those proceeds?
The answer is that nobody's really sure, okay, because there's so much uncertainty about the governor's proposal. I have clients who, upon advice of counsel, have transferred that money over to their city and put it in a special account to be used for projects in that area so that you wouldn't lose it. But it really is a question. The lawyers that do the bonds have said, well, they really can't do this because you've told the bond market this is what you're going to do with the money, and so the state really can't steal it. But no one's certain. You agree?
Completely concur. Yeah, it's at this point in time, nobody really knows how that's going to be dealt with. Yeah. So we'll see how the state proceeds. But there are options to use that money or do things with it while the agency is still in existence.
Okay. So I'm going to hold up. I have a comment because I think it really gets to the essence of whatever the council decides to do, the direction that we give, whether it's tonight or in short order, we should be looking for projects to commit funds to if we go down this road and if we are successful in selling the bonds. I think that's the best way to guarantee or at least minimize the future impacts depending on what the state does. So, Don, I do have some questions while you're still there. So have you done enough work to kind of get a general sense of where the city's credit rating might be? Because I know that when we went through the bond issue previously, right, I think we were something like around a B or a B plus.
Yeah, you got an investment grade rating on your first issuance. I would expect you would either maintain or probably improve that situation. Albert and I, and Albert does ongoing work for your agency as well. We're looking at, there's a couple of things that the rating agencies look at. One is how much concentration there is in the project area. And by that I mean how much of the tax is paid by individual property owners. Because the more of it that's paid by individuals, let's say that 90% of the tax increment's paid by one owner, and that one owner closes and they're gone, you don't have any money left. So it's hard to get an investment grade rating on something like this. You're in the improvement area, the older project area, the top was like 2%. Mm-hmm. And we're going to pull the latest information. And the top 10, which is what they usually look at, was like 12%. That's very strong for getting your bonds rated. Your industrial area, we haven't pulled the information yet to look at the credit rating on that one. I suspect it's not as strong. It may not be rateable, but it might be rateable, and we'll know once we pull some of the information, like the top 10. But it's newer. It doesn't have as much revenue. It's more susceptible to downward trends in NAV, and there's probably a little bit more concentration there. Anything you wanted to add? Triple B plus on your current one. Yeah. So I would expect you'd get that or maybe even get up to the A minus rating.
So then I wanted to just get – I was noticing that I think when you were trying to do a forecast on property value, as you have obviously know, that about 50% of our general fund comes from property taxes, and that's why obviously we're feeling a little bit more than we had previously. And did I read that correctly, that you were projecting beyond this year maybe a 2% increase in out years?
That's for an analysis like that, that's a pretty standard approach to use. That's the minimum inflation factor or the maximum inflation factor under Prop 13. But it doesn't take into account new development. It doesn't take into account changing ownership patterns as people sell. Of course, right now, if you sell property, it's likely that it's going to become lower on the tax roll rather than higher. But, you know, in a standard market, if we get back to a standard market, typically changes of ownership will raise your revenue stream up as well. Frankly, the markets don't care all that much about your future. I mean, they want to know about it, but they don't take it into account. What they want to know is, what's your revenue today? How stable has it been historically? Okay. Is it growing or is it declining? Those are the things they want to look at. And in the future stuff is sort of like, they like to know there's some upside potential to your area, and they don't want somebody like me running numbers that say.
So the last thing I did want to, and this is really not a question, this is really just a statement or clarification, because in this whole political battle over the potential elimination of redevelopment, we know that the teachers' associations, the California Teachers Association, and others have come out and basically said eliminated, because they have been told that by doing this, more money would become available for education. And I was struck by, I think on page 3, and it talked about for Grover Beach, the county auditor. Controller has been accepting payments that would exceed the amount that the Office of Education would, in fact, receive in the absence of redevelopment. So Is that about right, Bob?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think the other point again, it's the where does this tax dollar go? I think the governor's initial proposal cited $1.7 billion. Who knows whether that will be left when he completes if he completes the proposal. But essentially, those dollars were to go into either offset additional school costs or school costs to the state, or I think it was
mental health.
Mental health, yeah. Right?
It was mental health, and
but those are local tax dollars that are raised here that end up going to Sacramento and having the decisions made there.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you, Don.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Sure.
And thank you, Bob. Excellent staff report. So since there are no additional questions at this point, this is a business item, but I'm going to open this up to the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to address the Council and Improvement Agency Board at this time? Okay. Seeing no one, I'm going to close it, bring it back. Let's have some discussion, unless someone is prepared to make a motion. Okay.
Right.
Mayor Pro Tem, you want to start?
Yeah, I'm ready to make a motion. I think we've discussed this. I agree 100% that we're on the right track, and I am going to make a motion that the board direct staff to initiate the process to go into the bond program to repay the existing loans that exist between the city and the agency.
I'll second that.
Okay, Honorable Mayor and yes. Council members, for staff clarity, implicit in that motion would be direction to move forward with appointment and gathering of the bond issuance team and taking all of the necessary steps to effectuate your action.
Correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That is correct with the motion maker and the second, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, if there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Vice Chair Nichols?
Yes.
Board Member Peterson?
Yes.
Board Member Bryant?
Yes.
Board Member Mullman?
Yes.
Yes. And then I think the only other thing I'd like to say on this is as the process proceeds and progresses, if staff will continue to give us an update, and then I think at some point we do want to discuss potential projects out there, because
sure.
I think Councilmember Monar, you bring up a really good point. I think in the interim, it makes sense to keep the areas and the boundaries in place, and should redevelopment be eliminated, I think it still gives us the option to keep those as targeted areas for investment. So we would have some initial investment, but we'd have a lot less money going forward. So.
Mr. Mayor, the other thing in keeping with what you've stated, just want you to be aware that there will be a series of actions that the council will be required to take from this point to the point of issuance, which would be later in July. So essentially, you're almost going to have this or
every
a
meeting.
Portion of this item on every meeting between now and the end of July.
Great. Thank you, Bob.
That's good.
Okay. So that concludes item CCIA 1.
And I would like to thank you, gentlemen. I think you've done an excellent job, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. How's everyone feeling? You guys ready to keep moving?
Yes.
All right.
Still awake.
So let's move to item CCIA 2. And this is the presentation of the revised fiscal year 12 budget. City Manager, Executive Director Peral.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, a couple of the introductory comments before I actually get into the budget presentation itself. First of all, as you've mentioned already, this is a revision to the two-year budget, which was adopted last year and for FY 11 and 12. So consequently, the items that you've seen in the document itself, a lot of the text, et cetera, has not changed from the original point of adoption, but a lot of the figures have changed. Essentially, beginning with the presentation, it's in a little bit more detail than you had in your staff report. The reason for that is I actually put that staff report together remotely while I was in Sacramento working on other tasks, so that's why it tended to be a little bit more abbreviated than normal. To begin with, just some general background. We'll go fund by fund of the major. What I want to call out, I won't be calling out every fund, but just the items that I want to highlight for you tonight. Obviously, we can go wherever you want in terms of how you review the budget. The general fund, the first thing I just wanted to remind you of is what our total revenue and transfers look like. This is the pie. As you're well aware, the 50% of the general fund revenue is with property taxes. This year we're looking at total sources available to us of about $6,825,973. This is essentially how it's broken up. The next largest sector is the sales and use taxes. I wanted to let you know, single area sales and use taxes, and let you know exactly what that looked like. That pie shape hasn't changed a whole lot in the last several years, so it's remained pretty consistent in terms of our general makeup. In terms of our expenditures, obviously the expenditures, as noted in the budget document, are $7,542,662. And these are essentially, this pie represents how those dollars are split up amongst the various departments. I should note that just for your information, the fire it was originally a part of this pie, but now is covered in which section is that, Gayla?
It was actually pointed out to us right before the meeting that we missed the non-departmental.
It should be non-departmental.
And it's not included.
So how much is that?
It got missed. 20.
But it is how much of that pie, roughly? 15%?
Yeah, about approximately 15%.
In terms so this but it is included in the total dollar amount.
Yes.
Want to reassure you of that. So obviously, as we've noted all along, we've been dealing in the second year with how do you deal with the deficit. We provided the council with some options relative to that deficit during our last discussion on the topic. At that time, as we noted, we said that that deficit would be somewhere between $800,000 and $850,000, and that was dependent on a couple of things. One of those was actually whether or not the sale of property between the city and the agency was actually completed. Essentially, this is the direction that the council provided to staff, and we've been working on since then. Use of available carryover funds. We have that estimated at $115,095. Again, this is subject to change according to final expenditures and revenues, and we've still got, you know, about 6 or 8 weeks to go. The other point about that is, again, with that sale of property, if that does not occur, obviously we wouldn't have any carryover left, and we would actually be using reserve funds to balance this particular year. Yeah. Use up to $350,000 in reserve funds. Continue to review supplies and services. We have done that. Unfortunately, we've got it as tight as we can almost possibly get, and there isn't much more we can get in that particular area. Reduce the contribution to the street rehabilitation program by $120,000, and the budget reflects that. And currently, the remainder would be made up with concessions, personnel cost reductions, and those will be the result of a meet and confer process. And we're doing that at the present time. The budgeted figures, I should note, the $7.5 million, just by further clarification, does not anticipate any of those concessions. So what you're dealing with that $7.5 million, is realistically a budget with funded as if there were no furlough days or any concessions that were granted last year, because everything in progress with that consolidation during the first half of this next fiscal year. It continues with funding for both the Stone Soup Music Fair and special events, but it also does a good job of maintaining our current level of services without making any unnecessary or drastic reductions. I did want to, next fund I wanted to talk about is the water fund. At this point, revenues and transfers are projected to be at 2.8, and expenditures and transfers out are projected to be at 3.1. There's initial deficit of $269,186, and it includes capital projects of about $100,000, and Northern Cities Management Area costs are of about $67,224. A couple of things I want to note is that it would look as if our water rates may need to be adjusted, but we may be able to limit those adjustments in the following way. Number one, we would expect that personnel costs will be reduced by approximately 10% or up to 10% as a result of the meet and confer process, because those concessions, when they're achieved, do not only affect the general fund, but they go across the board. Secondly, you know, the improvement agencies repaying its debt to the water agency in terms of what we just talked about could reduce the capital costs included in the budget. In other words, those projects could be done from a portion of that $906,000 that is returned. That should assist with limiting any kind of rate adjustment we would have to seek should those things bear out. A couple of important notes I'd like to make. Actually, the Lopez water costs, and they're reflected in the budget, have been reduced by $19,000. That's as a result of the Zone 3 budget process that the council reviewed here a month or so ago. And there is also the prospect, I'm not sure that the $10,000, we have just seen the council authorized our participation in the refinancing of those bonds associated with Lake Lopez, and that may have the impact of reducing our expenditures another $10,000. We just were notified of that this last week. So that's the water fund. The stormwater fund, the only reason I'm calling this to your attention, I'm not expecting any action here, but for a long time we haven't had a direct source of revenue for the stormwater fund. Basically, we've been loaning dollars from the wastewater fund in recent years to cover the costs of the stormwater fund. And we've indicated to the council in the past that we really do need to find an independent source of funding for the stormwater fund. One of the things we may want to consider in the future is maybe actually combining the stormwater fund with the sewer fund, because they're so similar in some of their characteristics. They both are under are governed by the Regional Water Quality Board, and both actually end up with the same kind of permit covering the requirements that we have to carry out. That's referred to as an NPDES permit. So there's a lot of commonality there, and we might just want to think about combining the two. Obviously, the improvement agency is another area that I wanted to call to your attention. And essentially what we've done with the improvement agency, thinking not only about the prospect of the bond issue, but also in the event that the agency survives, we wanted to bring down administrative costs in order to, number one, if we go with the bond issue, we would be able to maximize our debt service payments, or the amount of money available for debt service. So this really shows you how we're taking those dollars down in just about every area. Ultimately, when you look at that transfers out, 459, this is what it would look like. 289,000 is your debt service. 44,000 is a cost allocation that we're currently reviewing. 9,720 is a few special projects. Essentially, we've taken everything down to the bare minimums. The Grover Beach Lodge, we had originally budgeted $25,000 to assist with that processing, but we haven't used anywhere near that amount during this last year. And so we're projecting about $10,000 to be used with the assistance for the processing. And that's stuff like special studies that might come up, et cetera. That's just based on what we used primarily this last year. All of this is obviously subject to how the council wants to treat this budget, and that's part of what we may need some direction for. The important thing, we didn't include any dollars for the EVC at this point, or the Visitors and Convention Bureau, but if the council direction is such, we certainly could modify the budget between now and then and add that back in, or some facsimile thereof. The other is I wanted to talk a little bit about the chamber. For the purposes of the budget, we have put and that's on the next slide, the chamber is basically in the budget at the same level it was last year. There's $25,000 in the agency budget. And there's also $7,500 on the special event fund to cover the stone soup. I'm aware that there are ongoing discussions between the council and the agency board, and certainly we may be able to modify that budget further based on the outcome of those discussions. But I wanted to provide a starting point, at least for the council's discussion in that area. The only other agency that is in the agency budget per se is the Housing Trust Fund. We have continued with the $5,000 there. You have letters from both the Chamber of Commerce and the Housing Trust Fund, and they were attached to the base report. And representatives from both of those agencies are present. I know I took this, went through this pretty rapidly, but this is essentially kind of the highlight. This represents the highlights of the budget in overview, we're available to answer any questions regarding any of the presentation, as well as the budget document that you might have. As well, we also have all the department heads available to answer any questions you might have as well. Mr. Mayor, that concludes my report.
Okay. I think in the past you had gone by department, but I guess we're doing something a little different tonight.
Well, in the past we did that. Last year we didn't. We just submitted a summary much like this, and so I essentially followed the same approach that I used last year.
Okay. So let's see if there's any questions of staff. Councilmember Peterson.
I was wondering if you could give me the numbers for the VCB and the EVC, what we spent last year, or I guess this year.
We do have those. It'll just take a minute to look them up. I believe the EVC was $7,500, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what I was thinking.
And actually, the EVC, VCB was significantly less, and somewhere in the neighborhood of actually 1,800, mm-hmm. I believe.
That's what I was remembering. Okay.
Yeah, it was under 2,000.
Okay. And then also, you talked about, depending on negotiations, that there could be a 10% reduction of staff costs in the, I believe it was the water.
Actually, that would be across the board. When we do meet and confer, it's across the board.
Do we have any idea of what that means in dollars?
Well, if you were to look at, if you took a look at your total gala with the water fund in terms of salaries and benefits, it would be roughly a 10% reduction of that.
I was trying to come up
with... For the water fund, it would be approximately $90,000.
$90,000. Okay. Thank you. Those are my only questions just now.
Okay. Customer Wright, do you have questions?
Thank you. Actually, your presentation answered several of my questions. Thank you. The water sales, they were revised to over $300,000 less than the original budget. Why is that?
A couple of reasons, and maybe Gala can amplify. Original budget, we had calculated prior to doing the rate adjustment last year, and if you remember, what we did is we have that rate adjustment into two
that consists of?
Well, I'll ask Gala to amplify, but often what will happen is transfers in and transfers out. Generally, when transfers are coming into the general fund, for instance, it's transfers in for other funds, the water fund, et cetera, for helping to pay for its share of some of the administrative costs. Where you have transfers out, it's, for instance, to give you an example, a street rehabilitation program would be a transfer out from the general fund of the $120,000. That goes to the street rehabilitation program. So they vary, and in the original budget, and we can provide that, actually a list of what those individual transfers are.
Is it because you're making the transfer within a certain fund? If you were transferring from one fund into another fund, that has to come before the council?
It's all part of the budget document.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Okay, the other question I have, is there any place in the budget that you have given us for review here that it shows our current balance in our reserve fund?
No, but I did give that to you at the last meeting, and it is right about $2.1 million.
Yeah, I was just curious as to where it was, if it, in fact it was in the budget, but it's not there.
It is in the original budget document.
Well, the original, right. Yeah, okay. That's all I have for
you. Actually, I have a question now.
Okay, hold on. Councilman Bernard.
I shouldn't let you just get me. I recall that, wasn't there a water carryover from last year?
Yeah, water carryover?
Wasn't there some money from Lopez or that we...
Well, yeah, there was. Actually, we received a reduction because they had some cost savings. So it was like in the last year we actually got a credit the last half of the year.
It was a minimal amount of savings from Lopez that you're thinking about. Overall, for the water fund, we're pretty much going to end this year breaking even and basically meaning zero cash in the bank. So we will have basically no reserves in the water fund.
In the water fund, okay. And then also in the water fund, which says improvement agency repaying debt to the water fund. You're referring to the bond money then?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Now, is that bond money?
Improvement agency, no. That is...
No.
Actually, where it shows this is we've set up the budget so that in the event the project doesn't go forward, the improvement agency would pay back a portion of its loan to the water fund.
Okay. Basically starting a repayment schedule.
That's only if we don't get the bonds.
Right.
Okay. And then under the general fund, the highlights, it includes the city hall facelift. How much is that total cost, and what percentage of it is coming from the ADA?
About $25,000 is the general fund, and there is about approximately $80,000 coming in from CDBG.
Okay. All right. All right, thank you.
Okay. And Bob, can you just
clarify, I'm looking at your two slides. You had one that showed revenues and transfers in at about 6.8 mil.
Right.
And then expenditures are 7.5.
Right.
So is the deficit we're looking at when I do the math is around 716?
Correct. If you look at page 3 of the general fund.
Okay. And then based on the direction the council was, had previously right. given you regarding using reserves and cutting down the
right.
contribution for streets, where it looked like we are somewhat close. It looks like we still need to find another
right.
131,000.
That's what I
thought. Yeah. Okay. So obviously subject to negotiations and then
right.
other things. Okay. So, well, that's actually good progress that we're making trying to close this gap.
Right.
Okay. So I know that we've got folks here who have a keen interest in the budget. I know we have a couple of letters, so I'm going to hold off on comments and questions, and I want to hear from those who are here tonight. So let me open this up to the public, and please come forward, state your name, city of residence for the record, and provide some comments to the council and board.
Let there be light. Good evening, Mayor Scholes and members of the council. My name is Jerry Ryu. I'm the executive director of the... We provided $720,000 to enable the Women's Shelter Program to buy 4 units that are being used as transitional housing for victims of domestic violence. Currently, I'm talking with 2 local developers who are planning projects on Farrell at both 10th and 16th. Hopefully, we'll be able to help one or both of those in the next year or so. We're a fairly lean organization. Our operating budget is $300,000 a year, including the interest on all of our loans. Our loan fund is primarily loans that we've borrowed from social investors, banks, religious groups, Catholic Healthcare West. And in the last 2 years, we've been able to secure $2.5 million in government grants for our loan fund. So it's been able to grow quite a bit. So I thank you very much for the support to date. I hope that you can continue to support us at the same level this year and in the future. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you, Jerry. Let me see if there's any questions of Mr. EU.
No questions, just a comment.
Okay.
We sure appreciate your good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Good evening. My name is Linda Garcia. I'm the CEO, President of the Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce. And honestly, I'm not prepared to speak. I really am here to thank you for your continued support. I know we had a conversation with the city manager last week, and to support us at the same level is greatly appreciated. I do want to point out we have been in negotiations with the chamber for the last couple of years to maybe add some more elements and maybe go more into economic development and working more with bringing more business into the area. So that's what our letter does propose, is some other elements that we want to put forward, as well as the visitor center and keeping that open 6 days a week from 9 to 5 every week. Right now, with the funding that we have, we're only able to keep it open about half the time with a second staff because I do have to be out in the field and do a lot of things. I did bring with me the vice president, the vice chair of my board of directors today, and he'd like to say a couple things as well.
My name is Brad Evans. I'm also with Grover Beach. I'm a vice chair. Again, just want to say thank you for the support. We look forward. We're taking the chamber in a very exciting and dynamic direction. We really want to add to more, you know, economic vitality, and we have a very aggressive and very knowledgeable group with the chamber right now, and I think that we can do it. And you know, just starting next Tuesday, we have a brainstorming session that we're going to get more of the Grover Beach business owners active and participating not only with retail, but we're also going to reach out to more of manufacturing, industrial, so that we can try to bring in more people and educate our locals to make sure that they keep their tax dollars here, educate. You don't need to go to our surrounding towns. We've got everything for you right here, and the chamber wants to be, you know, a catalyst in doing that.
Any questions?
I did want to ask you a question under number 6 in your letter. I think, Linda, you had just kind of touched on this a little bit. This is, and I think Brad had mentioned this as well, is maybe trying to add a component to the service provided to the city. Is that economic development? Is that the piece you're referring to?
Oh, the amendment. I'm sorry. I thought you said 6.
Economic development
program that we have added to our proposal. We want to hold monthly business orientation email newsletter. We want to distribute that. We want to meet with 8 to 10 prospective businesses in the county and surrounding counties to try and get them to consider relocating here. We also want to create marketing material with the city for economic development, monthly updates from the local agencies like the Economic Vitality Corporation, and also form an economic development committee with the monthly meetings, which we have already started some of these things even without this agreement in place, because we do believe in Grover Beach and we do want to bring more businesses here and we do want to build the economic vitality of the area.
Great. Thank you for expanding that and clarifying that. Okay. Was there anyone else that would like to address the council?
Good afternoon, or good evening, Mayor Scholes and members of the council. Jeff Lee, I'm here as your chair of the Parks, Rec, and Beautification Commission. Say that by either drawing in more volunteers, trying to get more donations and more in-kind services so that we can make Parks and Rec events more less subsidized by the city general fund. However, it should be noted that some of the free events that the city does, like the Arbor Day events, in some respects the Summer Concert Series is a free event, that brings so much vitality into the city as well. And it also helps maintain, like the Arbor Day maintains our Tree City USA designation and other things like that. So there are a number of free events that can help in other ways from the city. And obviously there's also the classes and the events and the use of the existing facilities that are maintaining the vitality of the city as well. So just want to let you know that we're here to, again, answer any questions, but also here to be part of the solution.
So. Great. Thank you, Jeff. Any questions? Jeff, don't go very far. I have a question. So one of the things that I know this council and prior councils have talked about is, you know, obviously in these tough, difficult times, mm-hmm. And I think Lucia Marr has taken a quite bold step in their initiative with trying to obviously upgrade Grover Beach Elementary School and create a new technology high school in the Pomo. Mm-hmm. But there is a component to where they've created this new foundation that would be charged with trying to raise funds to help offset costs. Is that something that may have been talked about at the Park and Rec Commission?
Kind of peripherally, we discussed kind of where to obtain funds or who to go talk to, and obviously DeSantos, vice chair of the commission, has her pulse or her finger on the school district. So we'll be tapping into her expertise where possible as well. So any opportunity to expand funding sources for children's activities and or just events is always something we'd be interested in.
Very good. Because the one thing I also think I want to say to you, and you can carry this back to the commission, and I know that there has made, you know, I think there are times when the commission feels like the council is not directing work or giving any things to them. But we've talked about this previously, that it's a two-way street and that we would hope that our commissions and committees, when they see their opportunities, would, and if they're being creative, that you would use staff as a resource and have something
be brought to the council for consideration. Mm-hmm. I think in this day and age, we really want everyone to be a partner and to be proactive. And if there are good ideas coming out like that, to please discuss them amongst yourselves and then have it elevated to the council.
Okay.
I think we can see a lot more of that.
I will work on bringing that back and coming seeing you more often.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else? Okay, seeing that, I'm going to close it to bring it back to the Council/Improvement Agency Board. Okay. So this is a, I guess, basically we're receiving the revised FY12 budget, and we're going to try and give staff some direction this evening. So let's have some discussion. Councilmember Moore, would you like to be the first?
This particular budget that we've been giving with the expenditures and transfers and revenues coming in, am I mistaken in that? Does this include the sale of the property or not?
Well, the sale of the garden property, sale of the park property, garden property at Ramona Park is included in this year's budget, and that's what we need to do to balance it.
Okay. So if we didn't sell that particular property, then how much would we be short?
Well, what would happen is you'd essentially see the carryover, that the $115,000 figure would be wiped out, and we would then
120.
Be... 120, and then we'd be using that much out of reserves,
yes.
Roughly, this year.
Okay. In addition to the 350 that we've identified.
Right.
Okay. So we, I do understand that Cleaver is being considered for the next budget.
Yes.
Okay. What about the Okui property, since they expressed an interest in...
That's direction that the council has provided for next year.
That is for next year.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Councilmember Peterson?
I'm a bit tongue-tied at the moment. I did have some questions and comments. If we transfer back the...
to do the street rehabilitation, to add to the street rehabilitation project, it could restore $120,000 relative to your operating...
To the general fund.
Right.
So I think... that being the case, we feel fairly confident that we would be able to raise a bond. We're fairly certain that we're going to lose our redevelopment agency, but we might not. I think it might be prudent to look at a couple of things. And I had requested that the goals and work program for the city come to us so we can look at these things in relationship to what we had actually set as our goals and work program. And I'm concerned that if we don't fund the Economic Vitality Corporation and the Visitor and Convention Bureau for a total of, about $9,500, $9,300, then where is it that we're adopting a comprehensive marketing program to promote city resources and business opportunities? Where is it that we're working cooperatively with economic organizations and business owners to retain existing jobs and create employment opportunities and implement the city's economic development strategy? And then where is it that we are adopting a long-term funding strategy for... that's covered the streets. So I think that if we don't fund those two organizations, because they've both been partners in economic development and partners and resources in tourism development, if we don't fund those, we're going backwards on our marketing. And so I'm very much in favor of, given the decisions we've made tonight, of finding $9,300 to fund those two organizations.
Okay.
And that's it. That's my comment. Yeah.
Great, and thank you for requesting the Golden Work Program. Councilmember Bright, you have anything?
I have a few things. First of all, I
I do believe that EBC has been extremely valuable to our local businesses as well as throughout the county. I don't know that I would support a full sponsorship or whatever we want to call it. I think, though, that I would still like for us to do something at that level, as well as with the VCB, because they are very important to our long-term goal and plan. Also, I'd like to say that I think the Chamber has done an excellent job organizing our local businesses and moving the city forward with the economic vitality issues. And so I think that that's very important. Our relationship with the Chamber, I think, is extremely important, one that I would want to continue. And having said that, this is a very, very lean budget, and I really appreciate all the work that's gone into this, not only from staff, but all of the employees. I mean, it is going to take a team effort to get through this year. So I'm pretty comfortable with what we have here in the budget at this point in time, other than I would like to see us, if we could, cough up some sponsorship for those two organizations.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem.
I think most questions I've had have been answered, asked and answered already. I have a couple of things that I will talk to staff about. They're minor things that I don't think we need to take up everybody's time on. I do want to also offer my compliments to the staff and all of the departments and the department heads. I think you've all done an outstanding job putting together this budget, where we're at budget-wise in this community. I think you've done a great job, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to try and give us some structure, and we can reach some consensus and give staff some recommendation. And so let me just start by saying thanks to staff and everyone who worked on this budget. I know it's not an easy time, and these are very challenging times. We know that this is a very thin budget, and to cut any further really means we're going to start cutting some bone in certain services. So I did want to just make one observation to staff on your slide under general fund highlights. I would certainly put the bullet that says maintaining current level of service to our citizens as number one at the top of that, because that is our number one priority, to make sure we do that. So what I'm going to try and do is there's some discussion in the general fund. There was some discussion under water fund. There was a storm water fund and wastewater, I think, staff.
One thing I will say, and I'll is I believe as long, and I need to get this clarified, as long as it was project-oriented, it, in other words, couldn't be an operational expenditure, but if there was a project at the chamber, and I'm not talking just capital, but something that could be identified as a project, it may be fundable, but I'd have to review that with the financial advisor.
So something like in their letter when they talked about an economic development strategy or something of that nature?
You know, I'd really have to discuss that with the financial advisor to make sure, but that...
Okay. So then, will you clarify something for me? I know that you're recommending that we maintain the $25,000 funding for the chamber when it comes to improvement agency.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also money's in the general fund, and I think you're saying that we were maintaining for the special events, Stone Soup and special events. And then I think you said it was about $7,500
right.
for Stone Soup.
Right.
Was it $15,000 for the 2 year? It was not $15,000 per year that had been discussed previously?
It was $15,000 per year, but
okay.
there has not been a second event identified yet
okay.
by the chamber.
So it is really, it's not maintaining it. You're just saying that because of performance and not
right.
doing an event,
you've adjusted that
right.
down. But
right.
in the budget we had, it was actually more than that.
In the in this budget, it's reflected the $7,500 and the $25,000. In past budgets, it's been both. 15,
so it was 25 plus.
Right.
And the reason I'm trying to establish that is that the chamber has put forth a proposal, and it when you do the numbers, it does not look like it is a huge increase that they're asking for. And I think I want to make sure that doesn't right. get lost in our discussion. So thank you for that clarification. So under the general fund, and this is discussion amongst ourselves, staff had talked about highlights, and I agree with them. So we're fine with continuing the personnel hiring freeze, maintaining the one vehicle purchase per year for police department, and obviously maintaining level of service to our citizens. So I wanted to kind of gauge the interest of the council with respect to the City Hall facelift in conjunction with CDBG funds, because I think staff had clarified that's about $25,000 from general fund. Bob, did you want to provide a little more information on that as far as the specific project?
Well, there are really kind of two parts to this. One is the interior, and essentially it would be the restructuring of the central counter to accommodate more citizens. It would probably mean some additional internal modifications, for instance, so that we wouldn't have people wandering back and forth through the central hall. Most people would be here, and they would access down the, and these are just thoughts right now, would access the other offices through kind of a gate, if you will. There was also been some discussion, and I don't know how far we can get with it, but one of the things that I feel very strongly about is that if we're going to invite people through this central door here, which looks out to that parking lot, we really have to do something about adjusting that parking lot.
Yeah.
Because take care of some of the trip and fall hazards that we
absolutely
have there.
Okay. So to the council, are we okay with continuing to include funding for City Hall facelift as described by the city manager?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we have to, don't we, in order to do we have to do that in conjunction for the CDBG funds?
I think that's another part of it. So, yeah.
So if we want to use those funds, then we need to leverage.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. So. And then as far as continuing the funding for Stone Soup, Music Fair, and special events, so it obviously it's in question of whether we could use funds generated through bonds. So the only – so how does everyone feel about doing that, continuing funding for Stone Soup and special events? Now, a caveat to that is the Chamber's letter I thought there was a part of their proposal was for the city not to fund special events, and they would handle that through volunteers.
You know, and they have already left, but I believe that's the understanding, except that I do know that they've already begun working on the Stone Soup. So at least it was.
Okay. I agree with that statement. Do the others feel the same way?
Yes.
Yes, especially since in the past we've asked people to conserve, and then you can't punish them for conserving by raising the rates. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. I'm also wondering if we should give staff some direction I don't know if there's a way to do this rather than waiting 4 years down the road and coming in with a big increase, if there is a incremental or a formula that can be done and tied to cost of living adjustments or things
like that. There's a couple of things. First of all, we clearly understood that from last year. So the intent is to try and minimize to the degree that we can any water rate adjustments. Obviously, if we've gone through this process and we still are in a position where we've got a deficit, we'll need to come back and address that through a potential rate increase with the council. But the council had indicated last year, and it's one of the things that we are intending to do, is to come back and review this on an annual basis mm-hmm. so that you don't end up with the situation that you had last time.
Okay. Great. Okay. So then we'll have to deal with that when you come back and we have that annual review. But I think you understand the sentiment of the council at this point. So it looks like water fund as presented by staff, and that one caveat, it looks like we're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
How about the stormwater fund? And it looks like there was staff looks like they were contemplating, and maybe it's better to give them some direction on whether it makes sense to combine stormwater fund with the wastewater fund.
Yes, that's essentially what we would be looking for right now, is just direction, not making any budget changes. But then we would come back and want to do a staff report that would fill you in on both the have you review both the advantages and disadvantages of doing that combination.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. We have consensus on that. Great. So then let's move to improvement agency. And I know you had on page 4 on your slides, looks like it was just the administrative fund overview and the changes, and that was, I think, consistent with the direction that had been given previously by the Council Improvement Agency. So what I did want to go to is on page 5, which is changes to supplies and services, and to make sure that the council is accepts the staff's recommendation as presented. And this is really where you were talking about dues and marketing and meeting. So you were basically zeroing out that budget, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then this is where we need to have that discussion regarding the EVC. So the original was $7,500. And Councilmember Bright, I think you had brought up a good point about that. What are the different funding levels at EVC? Because I know that compared to some of the other cities that have more resources, we were funded at a higher level.
We were. I believe there's a $1,000 level and then $5,000, $7,500. And I think I know that they'd be happy with whatever you're willing to give them. Because that is how they survive and how they are able to do what they do. I was thinking of a $1,000 level. I know that there are a couple other cities that are at that level, if I'm not mistaken, maybe.
I have a question. Is there any benefit for the different levels, or it's just...
I don't think so. I mean, no. I think your name is higher up in the things that they do and so on.
Oh, okay.
Whether or not you get a smile.
But actually, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I think that the funds that we have committed in the past have been well worth it. I know that they have done several things here in our city alone, but it's just for the entire county, I think. So I think if you have the funds at the ready, then it's certainly well worth it. But at this point in time, we don't, unfortunately. And
okay.
So I don't even know where we get the $1,000 from, but I'm just I'm advocating for that.
Okay. So, Councilmember Peterson, where are we at with VCB funding?
They're looking for $4,400 this year. Mm-hmm. We gave them $1,800 last year. Oh. And they're pretty much the same. They would be grateful for what they can get. I believe the other cities and county have all funded at their full funding right now in any other body. And I do want to bring to the council a memorandum at some point about looking at raising the TOT and looking at going for a BID, but those are thinking of fiscal year 2013, so we're just not there yet. At some point, we may be able to fund some of this through different methods, but right now, I think it's critical that we keep it in place until we can find another means.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
Wow, so you two, yes.
So, Debbie, then you think that $2,500 for a booth is a good investment for our city?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Would you allow every other city in the county will be there. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be there. The other thing is that Pismo Beach is putting in, I think, $70,000 just to have an event on the pier. So we will get some spin-off advantage from their Western Wine Awards on the pier. However, because they're hanging out down at the pier, they're not doing a beach. Nobody really is doing any kind of beach promotion or train promotion. So I think that leaves that wide open for us to go up there and say, we're the beach. And so I think that that would kind of double that impact for us this year. So I do think it's important that we be there. And I think that I don't think we want to lose our presence on their website either. It adds strength to our website, and you know, there's a lot of cross fertilization that happens.
So then the 1800 with that, is that the portion that would give us that?
I'm sure they would stick with us for that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm thinking to maybe move us along to put this in context. The changes to the administrative fund that staff has brought forward was consistent with the direction that was given. However, if we feel that the goals that Debbie, you talked about earlier, are important enough, at least for this year, we still have some flexibility with agency funds for this fiscal year, but that is obviously something that's subject to change. So if we believe these are valuable relationships that we want to maintain, then you know we should be able to give that direction. And so what I'm hearing is the representative from VCB is talking about 4,300. Do you think if we did both of them at 4,000, that would suffice at least to...
So could you lower the contribution to 1,500 and have 2,500 for the booth? Because the booth is a fixed rate, so that would mean we'd... I think so. I think that would suffice. I mean... You know, we aren't required to give any amount, so they pretty much will work for us at whatever we give, a bit like the EDC. And we've been very generous in the past with them, too, because we've recognized we're a small city without much income and we need to leverage whatever marketing we do with bigger agencies.
I would think we could go along with the 4,000 and leave it up to Debbie to figure out how best to spend that with the EDC.
Because I think it may make sense to do that and to let the agency know we value the friendship, the relationship.
Yeah.
But times are tough, and so we are phasing down. Mm-hmm. And if the things are better in a year or two, then we'll reconsider where we are. So I think that's just something we should think about. So is there a consensus to give that direction, and understanding that if we do this, then any monies we generate will have less for capital projects, correct?
Right. City manager? Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I think since we're on this discussion, I know that we just got the letter from the chamber, and the chamber is looking to enhance its services to the community. They are local business folks who are talented. And so we need to maybe have some discussion about that, or I guess we do, because I was thinking, would it make better sense to refer it back to the subcommittee? But since we are trying to finalize the budget, we have to decide if staff's recommendation is to maintain $25,000 through the agency and $7,500 for mm-hmm. general fund for this year. And that's what, $32,500.
Right.
What's the number that they're requesting?
Actually, I think it's $70,000 mm-hmm. all total, because they're if you look at their proposal, they're really suggesting two components. The first is that they operate the visitor center for a total of $45,000 per year. And then
station, correct?
Right. That is the depot.
Yeah.
So then the question is, what's recommended by staff will maintain for this year, and then we can always revisit their proposal for the next fiscal year. But where's the, what's the status of the contract right now?
The contract goes on until pretty much as it's stated. If it has an annual, if you'll recall, it has an annual renewal provision unless either side notices for negotiations.
Okay.
So it would just continue as is. One of the things that I suggest that you might want to do is to give yourself a little bit more time. We have the bond issue proceeding at the same time. I would suggest that between now, because it might impact how much you ultimately have available for debt service, my suggestion is between now and the end of that bond issue, you take a look at completing whatever the negotiations would yield.
Hmm. Do we get to, excuse me,
yes.
Do we get a financial report from the chamber?
We do. In fact, I picked one up, Mr. Buckingham, not me, picked a financial report up at their board meeting just last week.
What is this in their letter where they have number one, removal of section one, management, city liaison, and quarterly reporting? Are they?
Well, in the current contract, and you don't have, you'd have to, and the purpose wasn't to necessarily discuss the details of the contract, but I can tell you that contract currently requires them to do a quarterly reporting mechanism to the city council on their level of activity. That's what it is.
Oh, so they're leaving that, not removing that.
I believe that their intent was actually to relieve them of the reporting responsibility, but that's all subject to negotiation.
One of the things I think maybe there's a little too much up in the air to get into the details right now, as the city manager mentioned, but I'm thinking that maybe one of the things that we could do, I know that there's good staff representation there with the Parks and Rec director. I'm wondering, though, if we could become more actively involved by putting a council member. I know we've talked about that. The mayor has proposed it or alluded to it a few times. But maybe part of our contribution could be in also sending along a council member so that we're representing not just the Parks and Rec, but also the council and the city as far as economic development is concerned.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up because that was on my list. But I'm so just trying to figure out how to best proceed tonight. I will say I'm a little concerned that a number that was 15,000 is being represented at 7,500 now. So are we saying they haven't done the event? We don't want the event? I'm just trying to get a little better understanding around that number.
No, we're not saying that we don't want the event. As I recall, the contract says they were to identify an event, and they just have not done so thus far. Certainly, if they do another event, you could modify that portion of the budget for the additional $75 once that is done. Or you simply could put that second event in at the present time in the general fund.
Mr. Mayor, okay. For the last 2 years, they've only used the
$7,500. Mm. Oh, then can't you use the other $7,500 for the VCV and the?
Well, it seems to have evaporated, and that's my point. Even though they didn't use it, the money that was in the budget has gone away. So you're coming to us and saying you're maintaining the current budget, but it wasn't the budget, it was actually the current activity that they did not. So yes, we could have, in theory, we would have to add it back, and I think that provides some challenges. That's the thing. So I think, not to belabor this point tonight, is there's a recommendation to maintain $25,000 in the agency, as well as there is a new proposal for $7,500 in the general fund, so that 32,500 That will keep us consistent with the current contract, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So then we can have some direction to the subcommittee to discuss their proposal to see if there is value with, first of all, I have to admit the $45,000 that they're proposing is obviously higher than what they. So I should have grilled him when he was up at the podium, because I don't want to open this back up to the public, but I just wanted to. Jerry, yeah, let me do that. Why don't you come back up? Because I'd like a little further clarification on your role with dealing with Habitat for Humanity, which actually has done a project in the city, and I think you've known me long enough to know that we keep wondering, or I keep wondering, how come we're not able to generate more housing in Grover Beach? Why isn't people self-help here? And so I know that we're talking about a project on 10th and Farrell, and you know, there's been some discussion about your role and whatnot. So, you know, just kind of further clarification of how those dollars are immediately coming into Grover Beach.
Okay. Recently, we provided a $720,000 loan to the Women's Shelter Program for a project in Grover. We spent the 2 years prior to that working with the organization to help them identify how they could buy a property and fund a property. We helped them identify a particular program and apply for the program to negotiate the real estate contract so that they could hold it for the period that it takes the state to actually fund a grant. And then we provided a bridge loan that enabled them to close escrow and wait until the state finally does fund the grant. There's as you know, dealing with the state is very difficult these days. In terms of Habitat, I worked with your staff to identify sites within the city. I actually identified the site that Habitat built at as a potential site. Did the really initial work, and then their committee, you know, reviewed it more thoroughly and chose that particular one. I've also provided assistance to technical assistance to Habitat on financing issues, funding issues, board structures, items like that.
Mm-hmm.
On the two new projects, I've met with your staff and with the developer of the 10th and Farrell property, and we've discussed a lot of the issues related to the redevelopment law, the affordability restrictions, what he would have to do to comply with the requirements, and we would be available to provide financing to fill the gap between what he can get from a bank and the amount that he needs to finance the project to make it work. This last week, I've met with the proposed developers of the new project at 16th Street in Farrell and talked with them about how we could fill the gap in that project as well. Over the years, we posted your draft housing element on our website and did some marketing for it. There are a variety of things that we do and can do to support your housing activities. If reducing our funds could help EBC get more funds, that would be great, but our funds come out of the housing set aside and they can't be used for economic development.
Understood.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Since I've opened it back up for Jerry, is there anyone else that would like to address any comments or questions they've heard here? Okay. See, then I'm going to close it to the public and bring it back to the council. And thank you for that additional information. I'm convinced. Okay. All right. So I think we have reviewed this, and I believe we've given staff some direction. Bob,
and Gala, have you taken copious notes, correct?
Just to clarify, $1,000 membership for EVC and $4,000 for VCB.
I think what was recommended was four for both.
In total?
No.
$4,000 each.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and then we'll pursue. So I think you've got all that, and I'm not going to repeat it. So let me just make sure that none of my colleagues had anything else they wanted to say before we. And City Attorney, I don't think we need a motion on this. It's just direction.
I think that is correct, Mayor. Staff has direction, and this will be coming back to you in a form of a budget for formal adoption, and okay. That time motions will be appropriate.
Very good. And then I think